to my work because I'm not just working for a paycheck that goes to the supermarket. I'm working so that I don't have to go to the supermarket.
Welcome to the Gardening Podcast. In this podcast, we have Jared. He was at the Eco Village doing a six-month internship during the past growing season. In this podcast, he will tell us about his experience learning about permaculture and how to grow food. But first, he will tell us what led him to be at the Eco Village.
Started traveling for a year, looking for where we could start trying to build more of this culture or just join the culture that's happening and be a part of it and help support it. And so this is one of the places we bumped into, and it was kind of our first choice. And luckily, we got our first choice. It's pretty fortunate. Yeah. Came with the specific intent of wanting to put that seed in the ground, have it grow up, eat it, and be like, oh, I've seen the cycle. Mm-hmm. And I've done the human part of making that happen and trying to see, okay, now what can I glean from that experience and grow from that? And I want to do regenerative food forestry and wildizing things. So just looking for how much of that skill and knowledge do I need to have to be at the basic where it's like, okay, I can do this and go off and deal with some others who have just that basic knowledge or less, and then I can empower them in the same way.
Jared has a lot of ideas moving forward. And like me, he sees the ability to grow food as the foundation of his path. Growing food takes a lot of knowledge, intuition, and commitment. And it's not an easy knowledge that can just be passed through a conversation. It requires hands-on to actually learn. Well, as most of things in life. However, Jared decided to tell us a few things about the garden at the Eco Village that he thinks are important and can be passed on.
I can say that it's not monoculture. It's definitely a polyculture. So there's a lot of companion planting going on with that. There's a lot of looking at mutually beneficial relationships throughout the garden. And it's organic. It's definitely that. Yeah, so beyond that, I just say it's a lot of human power and love going into this place. And it's not necessarily as productive as, I don't know if that compares to times in the past as far as production. I've seen some parts of it are producing well and others are not as much, but it's beautiful, so it gives me that sense of I get to be in this beautiful place every day and work it and let it teach me as I interact with it. There is something to, it's just as easy as put a seed in a good piece of ground and water it and give it sunshine and heat and it'll grow for you. Sing to it, talk to it. That's what we hear a lot around here is talk to it. What's it need? I don't know, talk to it. And so learning how to look at a plant and see, okay, is it looking dry? Is it looking strong? Is it looking limp? It's interesting. I just had a conversation with someone who's done years of gardening in her backyard with some really clay-y soil, and she's tried to do a lot of things to mend it and change it, and she's having tons of trouble. And we had a good time just talking about different ideas on what she might be able to do now. I'm just like, wow, she's got so much more experience than me, and feeling like, okay, we're doing all right in this place. And I'm kind of trying to figure out why, what is it about this place? I see a lot of, right now as we're talking, I'm seeing a lot of bees on flowers, and I think that's probably a pretty good thing. There's been some beds that didn't get the irrigation they needed at the beginning, and just because I thought there was something turned on, it wasn't. And water's important. You want to make sure that whatever your irrigation system is doing, that it's working, and the more dialed in you have that and you get started, better off you'll be, less headache you'll have. And some places have been really dialed in, which has allowed me to have a headache in just a few different places. And those have been important lessons, as I found some busted hoses and had to fix those.
For us to get some experience, we need to make mistakes and learn from those. And those learning experiences can be beautiful and filled with excitement.
I don't know. I mean, the excitement for me, things like watching, I'm kind of like a baby, like just feeling and seeing things for the first time out here, that some kids have that same experience when they're 2 years old or whatever. So the fact that we put some corn in the ground and we put it down in this one area, and we were doing like what we did with a lot of other seeds when we were sowing it. We'd put it in the ground and water it and cover it with dirt and soil and move on. And then I read something on the card about how corn actually needs dry, warm soil. And so we put down corn in this other area, and I told them, don't water it. And the corn in the first area, nothing came up. Corn in the second area, there's about 10 out of, I don't know, say 100 that came up. And so we're like, man, what is it with this corn though? It's like some came up. What do we need to do? And so we ended up actually going into the greenhouse and doing a tray. And I put, where you normally would only put like a pack of seed, I put four packs of this old corn seed, it was like 4 years old, in the same tray and covered it with dirt. Didn't water it for a day, just waited for the water people to come in and let that be its first watering. And that stuff has come up really great. We got to transplant a lot over the last couple of weeks, and I'm starting to see those things get established and growing up. And that was my excitement this morning as I was walking through to see, boom, I was there for that whole day and it's working. Meanwhile, we've got this roof over here on the children's cob with a growing roof, and it had a bunch of stuff growing in it, but I didn't know what it was or I wouldn't pay attention to it at all. And it turns out it was just a weedy bed. So they wanted to have it changed out. I was like, listen to the instructions for that. And it's like, oh, it's just a big pot. We pulled all the dirt out and all the weeds out, and and put some fresh composted soil in there and sowed it with a bunch of calendula nasturtium. And then we had some nasturtium in the greenhouse that we tried transplanting, which I hear doesn't do very well. But it actually, if you look at it right now, some of it's droopy, but it's coming back. But there's a lot of nasturtium sprouts up there. There's a lot of calendula coming up. And
the most beautiful thing in my perspective about working at our eco-village is that it truly feels like we are all teachers and we are all learners. And in the garden, a place of so much learning, questions are always welcome.
Lovely.
What is this? Food scraps?
This is all food scraps from the kitchen.
How do these food scraps get turned into soil?
Decomposition, a bunch of great microbes, breaking it all down with heat, eating it up, consuming it, and pooping it back out, you might say.
The garden, and actually all around our eco-village, there are so many experiences to have learning opportunities. But of course, each person has a different one. And so I asked Jared what his experience was before we wrapped up.
From growing up in the suburbs to spending a bunch of time in the city, just really been looking for place, and I've belonged in several things. It's not about belonging necessarily, but it's like, okay, what's gonna work? And this has really felt like the first place of long-term thrival, this sort of setting. And so our eco-village has given me that feeling, that I'm seeing what's a place that's 20 years in, and getting to experience all of that kind of fermentation, that maturity of development, of design, of working and reworking, and reap the benefits of that knowledge. You know, they've been grabbing things from our ancestors for thousands of years before, but just to see how it manifests itself here and works itself out is something that's different than the post-World War II world, industrial and different, but, you know, definitely bringing in plastic hoses and things that exist because of that world as well. I'm loving what I'm experiencing, and it's really encouraging me that I've made the right decision by trying to look for something better. I'm gonna keep looking. The reason why I can't stay here is it's my visa runs out, part of it. But yeah, I am looking for that long term. Here's where my kids will call home. I'm really encouraged that it doesn't have to be in a box with an hour commute. And connect to my work, because I'm not just working for a paycheck that goes to the supermarket. I'm working so that I don't have to go to the supermarket. I'm not missing cable television. I'm not missing the rails. I'm not even missing the city parks, which are so wonderful. And definitely the places I try to escape to when I am in the city.
Thank you so, so much for all your input, Jared. It is always so valuable to look at our daily lives from a different perspective and see how our habits change once we experience a different setting. In the next and last podcast, we have Guru Dayal, a volunteer, talking about his experience living in community. Until then, bye-bye.
What's your favorite part of the garden so far?
Snagging the raspberries.